you're a part of something far bigger than what you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel. When I think about what was happening yesterday, I just have to take a little moment here. Let me get this thing because it's going to be scratching this morning. When we prayed for 345, I think who we prayed for, we had one lady come through, and this week she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And when they checked it, it had spread in over part of her body. And she asked specifically for that prayer. One lady came through, and her husband had died this week. Another lady came through and said, 2 months ago, when you prayed for my brother, I just want you to know that he passed, and he's gone now. I really don't know of any place in this area where you can go and sit and pray with people constantly for about 2 hours. I just don't know it. So what's happening here with the food, that's just a piece of this ministry. And you got to pray with people here. And I can also tell you that it's not just Stateline. There are multiple churches crossing over multiple denominations that are making this happen. But you are the backbone. And so therefore, when you gave, and it was interesting to note that when Don brought out that being more senior citizens, everybody but one that I signed up yesterday was over 50. And there was one that was not. My point is, a lot of the food is getting to where it really needs to be. And so, and you say, well, is everybody do right on? No. We know that. But we also know that a lot of people are being touched. And that just reminds us of the Christmas story. Doesn't it kind of go back? When you think back about a man and his wife who'd served the Lord all their life and they hadn't had any children. All of a sudden, one day he's called into service and an angel shows up. Zachariah, your wife's going to have a baby. He said, what are you talking about? She's going to have a baby. And when she has him, I want you to name him John. And he said, how can I know that all this stuff's going to happen? He says, because, watch this, he went dumb. He couldn't speak. For 9 months, this guy couldn't talk. Well, at the same time, he went home and he and his wife, they all got together and God gave them a baby. And then during the same period of time, there was this young girl, her name was Mary, and an angel showed up to her and said, hey, look, you're going to have a baby. What? Yeah, and when you have that baby, name that baby Jesus, because he's going to be the Savior of the world. How can that be? I'm a virgin. He said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you. And therefore, the child's going to be called the Son of God. Wow. Wemo. Mary has a child. And so, after a short period of time, she goes out to Elizabeth, who is the Zachariah's wife. And they get together. And the moment they showed up, that all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth and the baby inside of her, whose name was going to be John, leap for joy. And then Mary just turned loose bragging on Jesus. After about 6 months, she went back home. She went back home to a place called Nazareth. And while she was back there at Nazareth, all of a sudden the government sent out a message. Everybody's got to go back to where they were born and pay taxes. Government rule. So all of a sudden, this probably 8.5, 9-month-old pregnant woman, she takes a journey for many miles. And she reaches over and she comes to this little place called Bethlehem. And that's where we pick up today. Luke chapter 2, if you'd like to read with me. Luke chapter 2. We're picking up with verse 1 as we continue on with the story. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 and following, Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Take a census. That a census be taken of all that inhabited the earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. So as they are traveling there, what I want you to ask you a question. Does God work directly in the lives of people on planet Earth? Are you sure? You're absolutely correct. Because He is working, and it's in the course of this time that He's putting all these people together and places together. And if you want to know, is it really God at work? I'm going to back you up from the time that she was pregnant. I'm going to back you up some 450 to 500 years, and there was a prophet. And this prophet said these words in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. This prophet was telling us exactly when Jesus Christ was going to be born. So it's in the right period of time that God turned around and He intervened. Just like, some 64 years ago in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Mom was in Druid City Hospital. And she had this little boy. And she told me that when she had this little boy, that these sores came up over her legs and all. And so almost to the time in which she went home to glory, she reminded this little boy named Robert about Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and that I was born there. Right time, right place, not to be forgotten. And who would have known some 64 years later that he would be standing in front of a group of people in Columbus, Mississippi, telling the story? Where were you born? Where were you born? Right place? Right time? Think about it. Did you know if God had so chosen, you could have been born in China? In Russia? In South America? Why were you born right where you were born? There's a reason. And therefore, God is at work in your life. Because He goes on to tell us not only was it the right period of time, but it's the right place. I want to continue to read our story, verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Does the place that you're married, not married, does the place that you were born in the big picture, does it really matter? You can say, well, I don't think so. But if God has a plan for you and He's working through that, then the place could matter. For instance, for Jesus, His mother was pregnant. She went to Bethlehem because 500 years earlier, this little town named Bethlehem. In fact, if you read in Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for one will go forth for me to be the ruler of Israel, and his going forth are from long ago, from the times of eternity. But for you, Bethlehem. You see, Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, what does that mean to us? That means that God has His hand on us, and He is working through you. And it also means that this, that God planted you where you are to carry out His will. Let that sink in just a little bit. Why are you here? God, in His plan, planted you here. This is not an accident. But God brought you to this place, to this time, just like He brought Mary to Bethlehem. And it took Caesar Augustus to get him there. It took taxes to get him there. No one would have dreamed it was the government that got him where they were. But that's what happened. And then I want you to see, if you come into somebody's presence, does the right person have the ability to change you from the way you are to where you could be? Can somebody really make an impact on your life? Are you so sot in your ways that nobody's going to change? Sot, S-O-T, okay? That you're so sot in your ways that nobody can change you. I would like to suggest to you that when the right person comes into your life, that everything changes. For instance, look in verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. This was that right person. That right person came in. In fact, how do we know it's that right person? 700 years earlier, Isaiah wrote these words. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel meaning God with us. Right time, right place. Can the right person change your life? God has a desire for all people. Jesus Christ came preaching this message that all people repent and believe the gospel. But did you notice in verse 7 there was no room for him in the end? Let's take a little test right here. If somebody drove in from a town 180 miles away and the girl was pregnant and you saw them on the corner of the street, would you invite them to come into your house? Well, let's do it a different way. Let's just say you're on this trip, okay? And now you're taking this trip and you went into the Holiday Inn. And you got your motel room and you are so thankful because you got the last room in that town. And all of a sudden, these two young people came in and one of them was pregnant. And they said, "Hey, do you have a room?" And they said, "No, we're all out." They said, "We tried all the other motel rooms. You sure you don't have a room?" "No." And you're standing there listening. Would you give up your room? Some kind of interesting. There was no room in the inn. Fast forward 2,000 years. 2,000, maybe 18 years. Take away 30. Okay, 2,000 years. All of a sudden, somebody drives up to you and asks you the question, "Is there room in your house for Jesus?" "No, all of my family's coming in." "No, I've got to buy Christmas gifts." "No, we don't have any time for somebody else to come in." Is there room in your house for Jesus? That's something for us to kind of ponder on. Are we so busy sometimes that there's not enough room? But let me let you know, though, there can be other stuff that's going on right here. In verse 8 it says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You shall find the babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host of God, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Oh, man! Darkness coming out, bright brilliance. His angel shows up on the scene. You are scared to death, and He tells you, don't be afraid. And you say, what? Right. Don't be afraid. I don't know about you, but I've been hunting sometimes, and it got dark, and all of a sudden, you hear creepy things coming around you, okay? And this is now in the midst of the night, and all of a sudden this guy shows up in glory, brightness, brighter than any star you ever seen, and he tells you, don't be afraid. But he's got a message for you. He's got a message for you. I want to share with you something. Good news. Good news. Well, the prophecy back 700 years earlier said, in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who will mourn. I've got good news for you. And you ask, is that the reason we go out and tell? Can you imagine the glory just for one moment? You know what I'd like to see? Just for one moment, the glory would break loose and shine in this room. And we saw it, and there was no question about it. If that glory broke through for one moment in the brilliance and the light in here, do you suppose we would tell anybody about it this week? Man, you should have been there when it happened. Old Troy was sound asleep. And all of a sudden, the glory came in there, and it's bright. And old Troy's eyes got this big, and he just stood there with his mouth open. And all of a sudden, you leave out and tell him what the glory was. Folks, the glory came down. These shepherds got it. And because they got it, they went out and they started telling people. Where's the glory now? We want to see it. But the question is the glory inside here? Do you have the glory of God in you that's so brilliant that it brings peace into your life? Well, these angels, they got excited about that. And in verse 15 it says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened which the Lord made known to us. So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. They got it. They heard the words the prophet Isaiah 9:6 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So, is it real? Did it happen? Is it inside of us? Will we make ourselves available to God for this? So I ask you these questions. Does God act in your life? Yes. The Father is personally involved in the history of man. Secondly, did God know where you were going to be born?
And God, if God knew where you was going to be born, did He have a plan for your life? And inside of this big picture, are you a part of God's perfect plan to bring about glory to Him? And then, when you realize that you're part of that perfect plan, there was a person who came who could change everything about you, and His name was Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we celebrate Jesus Christ. And because Jesus is worthy, all of us need to walk out of this place talking about Him and telling others what we've heard, what we've seen, what we know to be true. Jesus Christ is born and lives today, now for you. Let's tell the story. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, in our heart, we want to tell the story. I know those shepherds were scared out of their sandals, but they never were the same. And I know that people who come to know You personally are changed, and they'll never be the same. Father, during this season, let us go and tell people of what we've seen, what we've heard, what the angel said, what Elizabeth experienced, what Zechariah happened, and he was struck dumb, and Mary, this virgin had a baby, and Joseph loved Mary and became the father to that baby, and Jesus Christ, right now, here, is here, and I'm a part of that plan. Because He knew where I was going to be born. He knew what I was going to do, and He knew the part that I have in His perfect plan. Father, help us to be about telling this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I hope you experienced the Christmas blessing. Yesterday, on all of those people that I personally prayed with, I prayed the Christmas blessing on them. Because I want each and every one of them to know Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is Jesus Christ Lord in your heart today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? All of what the angels were talking about, all that the shepherds were going wild about, it's all about the glory of God found in the person of Jesus Christ. And does He live in your heart? Do you share in His glory? If you've not received Jesus Christ, I'm going to be standing right down front here. And I want you to come and say, I want the light. And when you tell me I want the light, what I'm going to do, you and I are going to go to a corner and we're going to sit and we're going to talk about how to get the light of Jesus Christ into your heart so that you might truly know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So for you who do not know Him, may the light enter into your heart. And for everyone else, may you get fired up and may you go tell somebody what the angel said, what Mary said, what Jesus said. And may in this Christmas, people receive encouragement, help, because of you. You're not here by accident. You're here on a reason. You're here for a purpose. And God wants to use you today, this week. Let's pray. Father, we're entering now into this time of invitation. Move on the hearts. Shine the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.